All of us have a great desire, a great need to belong. And people are going to attach themselves to something or someone. It doesn't matter who they are. They may say that they're loners, that they like isolation, but we're not designed that way. We're not built that way. And we all have this great need to attach ourselves to someone. And we long for their presence. We long for that relationship. I think one of the great struggles that we have as Christians is that there are times in our walk with God that we don't sense that relationship, that fellowship that we have with Him. And it bothers us. It causes us to doubt our faith. It causes us to become paralyzed in our walk with Christ. It affects us in so many ways. And if we're not careful, then we'll begin to look for the things of the world to replace that relationship that we have with God. Now, David was very aware of this, and David helps us understand with great confidence the relationship that we have with God today and for all of eternity. So let's open our Bibles to Psalm chapter 23. For those who are guests, as Hayes said earlier, we've been going through this psalm. Today we're going to look at the last verse, a very powerful verse in God's Word that gives us great assurance. In order to get the context, let's read beginning in verse 1, the 23rd Psalm. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live." Now, what does David say about our fellowship with the shepherd? Three things I want you to notice this morning. First of all, you can be confident of your fellowship with the shepherd. You can be confident. Now, we get that from the very first word of this verse, which is the word only. Your translation may say surely. It's not a passing word. It's not there by accident. It is intentional, as is true of all of God's words that are in the Scriptures. But this word's very important because what he is doing is he's giving a word of confidence, of assurance, about what he believes concerning God, about his fellowship with God. He's not saying maybe, perhaps. He's not saying possibly. He's not even saying hopefully. We use that word a lot in Christian vernacular. But he's not even meaning that. He is meaning only, confidently, I have this relationship. No doubts, no wondering, no hesitation. David's confident of his faithful fellowship with God. Now, David faced problems and he needed his soul renewed. David went through some very dark times and he needed God's direction in his life. He faced fears and he questioned God's presence. He needed that assurance of God's presence. Now, during these times of need, David learned, as we have learned, several things from this psalm. First of all, that you and I have the Lord as our shepherd. Remember what I said several weeks ago at the beginning of this series, that whenever we're in need, whoever you turn to or whatever you turn to, that is your shepherd. So the question is the Lord your shepherd? David says with great confidence, he realizes it is the Lord. The sovereign God of the universe, the creator of the universe, self-sufficient, self-sustaining. He doesn't have to go outside of himself for anything. The Lord is my shepherd, he says. We also learn that God provides a place of rest. It's not necessarily a place of inactivity, but it's a place of renewal. It's where the green pastures are, the quiet waters. It's really an illustration, a metaphor for the place and the time that we need to meditate on the Lord, to meditate on His Word, to meditate in prayer. And there our soul is renewed. We have spiritual energy from that. We also learn that when we're confused, we're unsure what to do, that our shepherd leads us on the right path. And notice, he does that for one reason. It does help us, but he does it for his name's sake. His reputation is at stake as the shepherd. And so what he does for us is for his own glory. And we also learn that when we're terrified by our circumstances and we're in the deepest, darkest valley, that he is there. He is there. And he brings his rod and his staff with him, his grace and his love. And they comfort us. We feel better because of what he does for us in that lowest point of our lives. We also learn that it doesn't matter whatever circumstances you face, how bad they are, whatever enemies that you may face, that he prepares a table. In other words, he is going to provide everything that you need. And his spirit gives us peace of mind. He anoints our head with oil. And all of his blessings are overflowing to us. We can't enumerate the blessings that God has for us. Now, out of these lessons, David says only. After everything he says only. Surely, confidently, I can say this. In the midst of your confusion, discouragement, and depression, you can have confidence of your fellowship with God. David said in Psalm 56, "This I know, God is for me." Now, specifically, what gives David confidence? Two things. Number one, David has confidence of his fellowship here with the shepherd. Has fellowship here. Notice he says, "Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life." Only goodness and mercy. I think Spurgeon says that these are the sheepdogs of God, that these two follow us. They're pursuing us, goodness and mercy. He has confidence that he has fellowship with God here every moment, every day of his life. Now, what does he mean by goodness? Well, goodness obviously includes all the good that God does for us. Remember, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. So all the blessings, all the good, all the acts of kindness that occur in life to us are from him. Everything you experience in life is based on God's goodness. The air that you breathe, although those without Christ would never acknowledge that, but they experience his blessings every day, all the time. But we acknowledge that. We realize that all that happens, all the good comes from God. David said in Psalm 31, "How great is your goodness that you have stored up for those who fear you." Psalm 84:11, "He does not withhold the good from those who live with integrity." So he has goodness that follows us. It's always there. And faithful love. Your translation may say mercy or loving kindness. Now, this is the Lord's commitment to you. And his commitment is unconditional. He doesn't say if, he says because. He is always committed. On your best day and on your worst day, he is faithfully committed to you. It's like the relationship that a parent and a child has. There are good days and there are bad days, right? And yet, it doesn't matter what happens, that there's still a commitment from the parent to the child. Not because of what they are, not because of what they do, but because of who they are. That's my child. And it's unconditional, my love, my commitment to this child. And it's one of the greatest things that we can help our children understand, that I love you and I'm proud of you, not for what you've accomplished, but simply because of who you are. You're mine. Now listen. That's what we need to hear from God. We need to be confident of God's loving kindness to us, that he is always committed to us. It doesn't matter whatever we do, that I know that God loves me. There's nothing, listen, that you can do. There's nothing any more that you can do that will cause God to love you any more than he already does. Let me say that again. There's nothing more you can do that can cause God to love you any more than he already does. So don't try to get hung up on earning God's favor, earning God's goodness and faithful love. He is fully committed to giving that to you. So no matter what happens in your life, only goodness and faithful love will follow you all the days of your life. Now that's easy to say, isn't it, when things are going well. When my health is excellent, when things are going great at work, when my income is sufficient, when my family is doing well, when friends are friendly, it's easy to say, only goodness and faithful love will follow me all the days of my life. But what about when your health is bad? What about when you lose your job and you don't have enough money to pay the bills? When your family is in pain or there's disappointment in the family? When your kids are struggling in school? When they're hanging out with the wrong crowd? What do you say? These are the times when our confidence is tested. Is God really here? Is God with me? Is his goodness and faithful love following me in spite of all this bad that is happening in my life? When times are tough, you can confidently proclaim, only confidently, surely, goodness and his faithful love will follow me all the days of my life. Notice how he says this in Psalm 103. Notice the words faithful love and goodness in this psalm by David. My soul, praise the Lord, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. My soul, praise the Lord, and do not forget all his benefits. He forgives all your sin. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion. He satisfies you with goodness. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executes acts of righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He revealed his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and full of faithful love. He will not always accuse us or be angry forever. He has not dealt with us as our sins deserve or repaid us according to our offenses. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Listen, you could be confident of his faithful fellowship with you here today. But notice finally, you can be confident of your fellowship in the hereafter. Notice what he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now the word house is a very interesting word actually in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew text. It's the word Beth. We would pronounce it as if we saw it in English, B-E-T-H, we would pronounce it that way. But it's actually pronounced Bet. And you see many words in the Old Testament with the word Bet in it. Let me give you an example of what he's talking about, this word house. It can mean a physical building, but it means much more than that. Remember in Genesis 28, Jacob has a vision. It's a vision of a ladder going up to heaven and angels ascending and descending on that ladder. And he has a keen awareness of the presence of God. And he names that place Bethel. We would say Bethel, but it's Bethel. The house, Bethel, is God. The house of God. But there's no building there. There's no structure. There's no tabernacle, there's no house, There's no temple. It is the presence of God. So you have the balance between a building where we go to worship and experience the presence of God, but it's also simply the presence of God wherever we are. If you turn the page in your Bible to Psalm 27, I want you to look at verse 4 and notice how he ties these two ideas together, that of this building and the presence of God. He says, I have asked one thing from the Lord. Now, he could have asked many things. I've asked one thing. This is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. Now, what does David mean? Does David mean that every day he wants to go to the physical building of the temple and spend all of his time in that building where he worships God? No. That's not what he means. He means that when I am there worshiping God, it is there that I experience the reality of the presence of God is made known to me. He's affirming that that's what I want wherever I am every single day and moment of my life. I want to experience the presence of God because when we have his presence, we have his power. We have his help. We have his strength, his comfort, and all the rest. And I want to gaze on his beauty. Is it physical beauty he's talking about? It's the glory of God. I want to experience the glory of God, and I want to seek him. That's the pursuit of my life. And he brings those two together. Now, it's interesting that this word in the Old Testament also means a household. We would say, our British friends would say, the house of Tudor or the house of Windsor. What are they talking about? They're talking about a family line. They're talking about a household. In Galatians, Paul talks about the household of faith. We sing a song, we believe, and there's a phrase there, the communion of the saints. It's the fellowship of believers, past, present, and future. And so we affirm, David is affirming the presence of God in the hereafter. I'm going to worship him here, but he said, I want to do that all the days of my life. He's confident. Here's what he's saying. He's confident of the presence of God, and he's confident of the people of God. And he's going to spend time in his presence, and he's going to spend time with the family of God all the days of his life. Now he says, I desire to dwell in the house of the Lord. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. The word dwell simply means to be at home. Now, what is he doing? He's affirming that this is not our home. That there's another home. That's where our citizenship is. We're just passing through. Scripture describes it as we're pilgrims. This is not our home. Now here's our problem. We try to make earth our home. And when we do that, we get in real trouble. We've replaced his home with this home. So how much time are you focused on what's going on here rather than what's going on there? When we have the right view of the hereafter, of our home in heaven, then we have a right view of here. And listen, life is much more tolerable. Florence Chadwick was the first woman to swim across the English Channel. Sometime later, she decided to swim from the Catalina Island to the California coast. It was a foggy day. Conditions were not good. She got in the water, and 16 hours into the swim, she stopped and got in the boat, only to find out that as she looked across the water, a half mile away was the coastline of California. Can you imagine the disappointment and the frustration? 2 months later, the conditions were exactly the same. She got in the water, and she swam it in record time. They asked her, how did you do it? What kept you from quitting? She said, I kept bringing up in my mind the picture of that shoreline. I kept knowing that it was there And that's what pulled me through. And we need to get our minds on the shoreline of our future, on our home in heaven. And that's what's going to pull us through, even when we want to quit during hard and tough times. God has an opportunity for us to experience Him, not just here, but in the hereafter. Now, what's going to happen when we reach the hereafter and reach that shoreline? Well, you know, I could spend months talking about heaven. But let me tell you what's going to happen from one scene in heaven. Revelation chapter 7, and here's what John wrote. This is a great multitude before the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. He says this, no longer will they hunger, no longer will they thirst, no longer will the sun strike them or any heat, because the Lamb who is at the center of the throne will shepherd them. He will guide them to springs of living waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I can only imagine that he had the 23rd Psalm in mind, affirming that we have a shepherd here and we have a shepherd in the hereafter, forever, who will care for us and minister to us. Now, I want you to remember one thing that the Scripture teaches. Hell is a place of total isolation. Heaven is just the opposite. John talks about the multitudes. We're going to be at a banquet table. We're going to have fellowship with each other. It's a family. It's a household of faith. Let me ask you three questions in light of that. Number one, are you confident of your fellowship with Jesus Christ? Are you confident you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Secondly, are you confident goodness and faithful love are following you? Now, there's a flip side to this coin. David says that goodness and faithful love are pursuing me, are following me, but we need to ask ourselves, what are we leaving behind? Are we leaving behind goodness and faithful love to others around us? Peace or turmoil? Forgiveness or bitterness? Contentment or conflict? Joy or frustration? Love or anger? Or is it goodness and faithful love? The last question I want to ask you, are you confident you will spend eternity in heaven? David says, only, surely, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may say, well, Pastor, I hope so. I think so. I pray it all works out. Wrong answer. The Bible says this, these things were written that you may know you have eternal life. You can have confidence, not out of pride or arrogance, but you can have confidence because of what God has provided for you through our great and good shepherd. If you have any doubt about that today, then you need to nail that down. You need to leave today with absolute confidence that my relationship with God is where it should be, that I have one, and that I know that I will spend eternity in heaven with Him. In light of that, I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. There might be someone here today who would say, Pastor, I don't have that confidence as David expresses in this psalm. I have doubts about my relationship with God. I'm not sure that I really am a Christian. I don't know that if I died today that I would spend eternity in heaven. But today, you can have that assurance. You can have that confidence, not based on who you are, but based on who He is. and what God has done for you through Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, I'm going to ask you in just a moment to do something that's very bold. I'm going to ask you to take a step toward one of the pastors who will be here this morning and come to them and say, I need to have that confidence of my relationship with God. I want to know that I have a walk with God, that he has a relationship with me, and that I'm going to heaven when it's all over. And you may not know exactly what to say or do or how that happens, but the pastor who's here will help you and will lead you to saving faith in Jesus Christ. There might also be, I'm sure, some who are here today who would say, Pastor, I know the Lord, but I'm really not in good fellowship with him. I don't even know what's really happened. I just feel like I've just kind of drifted. And I don't sense the connection, the passion, that spiritual energy that I used to have. Well, that's okay. The Lord knows that. But ask him to show you that place in your life that's holding you back. You already may know what it is. And surrender that to him. And be willing to let him do that work of restoring your life, of renewing your soul, as David said in this psalm. And he will be faithful to do that. You know, you might be where you are spiritually because you've not connected with the church home. Maybe you've been visiting for some time. Look, the sheep need to be together. And they need to be under the leadership of the shepherd, the Lord. And I'm simply an under-shepherd. That's my role. Is I care and tend to the flock in my role. But God wants you to be with his sheep, with the flock. And so today might be the day that you unite with our church family. Whether you're here or whether you're online, you can connect with us. And let us know that. Maybe you need to come and pray here quietly at the altar. Or you would love for somebody to pray with you. And we desire to do that. Father, I thank you for this great word that David wrote many years ago. It's not what David wrote, it's what you wrote through him to us. They're your words. They're what you're trying to say to us through the life experiences of David. And God, I pray that we will submit to your leadership in our lives, that we'll let you shepherd us, that we'll experience your goodness and your faithful love all the days of our life, here and in the hereafter. Help these who need to make commitments now. In Jesus' name, amen.